Welcome to Dubi Honig's Orthodox Jewish Chamber of Commerce Business Weekly Podcast, hosted by Jacob Rupp. We will be interviewing business industry leaders who will be sharing their expertise and business insights to help you succeed. Are you looking to get more publicity for your business? This isn't like the radio where they just play it and it goes away. People are following this for years. So if you'd like to sponsor an episode, please contact us at podcast@ojchamber.com or call 212-659-5270. In today's episode of the OJC Biz Podcast, we have the honor of interviewing Mr. Anthony Scaramucci, who is an American financier, entrepreneur, and political figure. Most recently, he was the White House Communications Director, and then he left politics and went back into business. He's going to be joining the OJC on an exciting Israel opportunity where he will be learning about the economy there and figuring out new investments and business opportunities as he re-enters the business world. He has a tremendous amount of very actionable and important advice, and so I would advise you to take a pencil and a piece of paper and get ready to take some notes.
Okay, Anthony, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such an honor and a pleasure to have you joining us on the OJC Business Podcast.
Great being here, man. Really, really grateful.
You are going to be going with the OJC to Israel. What do you think about the potential that's out there in terms of going to Israel and what's going on in that country?
Listen, 70 years since its origination. They'll be celebrating that this coming April. They turned a pile of sand in a very hot climate into an oasis. They did it over 70 years. They've got probably the best venture capitalist system in that region of the world. And I'm super excited to go there. When I had SkyBridge, we had three or four private banks in Israel that were selling our products and services. I have a lot of friends there. I'm a Zionist by nature. I think we have to protect the minorities in a civilization if all of us want to be free. And so I'm a big believer in Zionism and big believer in the culture of Judaism and its religion. And I'm super excited to get there. And those guys, the OJC, are fantastic guys. I mean, they are unbelievable business builders. And so I'm very confident that my next business venture is going to be enhanced and accelerated by them. Look what they've done for TD. You know, just in New Jersey, tri-state area.
You did not grow up in a wealthy family.
Middle class family. My dad didn't go to college. He started out as an hourly laborer. Very hardworking guy. My mom is a housewife. No college educations in my family until my brother and I went to college. And it was a great upbringing. Great way to grow up. Great way to originate. There was no entitlement, and connected to having no entitlement, there's no victimization. So, you know, whatever happened to me in politics, there's no whining. There's no whining in sports or politics. For that matter, there shouldn't be any whining in life in general. You just, you know, you're not entitled to anything. Go out and earn a living and go out and prove yourself.
Mm-hmm. What pillars of success do you think that what you've done is founded on?
Well, I think, you know, I've always think about this. So I'll give you the four major components. Component number one, everybody's motivated differently, but for me, I've always been motivated about starting with nothing and turning it into something. I think that's the whole hallmark of the American dream. So that's an unbelievable motivation for me. Number two, I've tried to operate off of a principle of high integrity, where I look at my dad as an example, as a guy that worked super, super hard, carried a lunch pail at the early part of his career. There's nothing I would do that would disrupt him. So high integrity. Third thing is you got to figure out a way to add value on both sides of the equation. That's for customers and for the people that decided that they want to work alongside of you in your businesses. So for me, I always believed that I was in the pizza pie business. My attitude was I needed to grow the pie as massively and as substantially as possible, so that when we cut into the pie, each of us had a nice slice and no one really cared about the other person's percentage or slice. That's a big thing about me, sharing sort of a idea. And then the last thing, which is like super important to me, I have to have fun. You know, And so that's why I like to be authentic, and I like to tell people what I think, and it gets me in trouble once in a while, but it's fine. You know, I would rather be that way than this homogenized nonsense that we're living with now in society.
And what initially attracted you to go into Wall Street?
Money, money. I was financially insecure at the time. I was worried about money. I thought it was the clearest path to financial independence. Also, one of the great things I loved about Wall Street, it was the business of understanding other businesses. And so since I love business, Wall Street gave you like a jack of all trades understanding of a lot of different genres, because you were financing a lot of different people.
Would you still feel that Wall Street is the best way to go, or there's a bunch of new opportunities now?
No, definitely new opportunities. Wall Street's become heavily, heavily regulated. They've made it difficult for the system to flow capital to the small business community. And so it's a little harder on Wall Street now than it was 25 or 30 years ago. I see a path on Wall Street, certainly, but there's also other paths, technology, Silicon Valley, medical technology, biotechnology, medical equipment. There's a lot of different paths now people can take above and beyond Wall Street.
Amazing. Tell me a little bit about the SALT conference and what you were trying to achieve by that, and how you managed to get so many thought leaders in your industry to come together.
Me and a few of my contrarian partners, we looked at the SALT conference and said, here is an opportunity for us to lay a stake in the ground, go against the conventional wisdom that's out there, and to build a product that we could attach a lot of independent thought leaders to. The first conference only had 300 people. The last conference had about 2,500. And so this year, this coming year, mid-May, in Las Vegas, we're going to have, I think, our best one yet. You know, I'm hoping to have 3,000 people there, and it'll be our 10th anniversary. So it's very exciting.
How did you go about bringing all of these people together? What was the strategy? Because this is probably something that's a little bit different than what you were doing with hedge funds, correct?
Yeah, a little different. Yeah, but much more, less focused on performance, much more focused on ideas, much more focused on collaboration and networking. Again, I try to simplify things. So the SALT conference to me represented three things. Number one, an opportunity for people to network and to connect with each other, to make money with each other. Number two, a learning facility. If you looked at our programming, you'd say, wow, I can come to this event in 2.5 days. I can learn a tremendous amount. And then the third thing, again, always comes back to me, how about having some fun? It is Las Vegas, you know? So if you can meet somebody that can help you with your business, if you can learn something from somebody, and you can have a little bit of fun, that's the trifecta.
How do you look at starting new opportunities?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll tell you, the way I look at it is I like doing things that people say cannot be done. And so, you know, the Donald Trump experience is an example of that. This time last year, we had won, but 48 hours from this time last year, people were saying we were going to lose. In the same way, they're saying that the president has bad poll ratings, a bunch of nonsense. Guy's going to win re-election in 2020. So I like doing things that are non-conventional and very contrarian. One of the things that I did is I brought back the show Wall Street Week. It was dead in 2005. Maryland Public Broadcasting ended the show. And so in 2014, I bought it from Maryland Public Television. Nobody wanted it. So I bought advertising time as an infomercial, and I produced the show as an infomercial. And then I subsold the advertising time to financial services firms. And I brought in my friends from the SALT conference. Lo and behold, we turned it back into a major franchise, which is now on the Fox Business Network, 8 p.m. on Friday nights. My good friend Maria Bartiromo is running it now because I had to leave to go work for the Trump administration.
And how important do you feel that networks are now that you've been in this business for decades, really? When you're starting new projects, are you going back to the phones and calling and trying to start new relationships? Or are you saying that the majority of your success comes based on the network that you have?
I would say that there's an adage by Benjamin Franklin that people should never forget. If you want to make a friend, ask the person for a favor.
You've really had an unbelievable career. You've built these massive companies. You've sold them. Was this something that you had planned on when you came out of Harvard? And what's the experience been like?
It's been an unbelievable experience, but it's been a lot of ups and downs. you know, it was definitely not something that I could have said to me that I was going to come out of Harvard, go to Goldman for 2 years, start a business, sell it for 9 figures. That business gets sold to Lehman Brothers, which ultimately ends up being the largest bankruptcy in history. But I leave Lehman 3 years before it goes bankrupt to build SkyBridge. And then Lehman has a $31 billion liquidation while SkyBridge goes on to be the 10th largest fund of funds in the world. I would have said that was a very unpredictable path. And then you coincide that with Donald Trump's victory and the president making a decision that he wants me to come work for him. But then I'm defeated by the swamp monsters in my approach to go work for him. You know, it's just a fascinating story. Yeah, there's a lot in there.
And do you feel that you have no expectation because you had such highs and then you had these like crazy disappointments that you haven't seen? When you're looking at new opportunities, are you expecting to win or are you saying, I'm just not expecting, I'm just going to follow the four principles?
No, I want to win. I'm expecting to win. I don't think I'm going to win every round. I'm going to win every inning. I'm going to win every minute of the game. You can't throw the ball the way I've thrown the ball in my life and not expect to be intercepted. So, you can have a very mundane, low-risk life and not fail at anything, or you can throw the ball. I've made a decision. I'm going to throw the ball.
What was the most profound lesson that you've learned from the president? I am assuming that you knew him prior to
going. Never give up.
Never give up.
Never give up. Don't care what other people think about you. And if you see something and you've got good instincts about what you're seeing, go with your instincts. Don't listen to the crowd of experts or the nonsense, okay?
How did you manage to grow such a profound social media account? And what do you see your role is vis-a-vis the followers that you have?
Well, again, I see Twitter totally differently than these other people. People have decided that if they follow nobody, and a lot of people follow them, that's the definition of coolness. I don't see it that way. I see it as Twitter is an environment, a learning environment. I'm going to probably end up following 1 million people when I'm done. I'd like to see what's going on in 1 million people's lives, in 1 million people's cross-section of the American or international experience. And so by following a lot of people follow me. And I get a lot of direct messages on my Twitter that I think are fun and engaging. So to me, I think people are making a very big mistake on their Twitter accounts. Again, it's a contrarian thinking, non-conventional thinking. I'm going to follow a gajillion people. And then once I follow these gajillion people, hopefully they'll follow me. We'll have this big social media engagement. I think I got about 850,000 people following me, and I hope to get my followers, I mean, people I'm following, up to that level as well.
Amazing. And final question, as someone who's seen so much and been around so many people that have accomplished so much, to what extent are you still learning? Like you mentioned this.
Every day.
Every day.
I'm learning every day. I'm just finishing up Ron Chernow's book on U.S. Grant. I'm talking to one of my old mentors this morning about how to grow the SALT Conference, how to recreate it, how to change the programming of the SALT Conference. So it's nothing like the predecessor conferences. I'll be speaking at 2 universities next week. I find when I go to these universities, I learn more from the people I'm meeting with than they're learning from me. And I would tell you, people that are listening to your podcast, they got to read more. Stop looking at your phone, unless it's your iBook app, you know, and start reading more.
Amazing. All right, Anthony, brother? Thank you so much. Okay. I really appreciate the time.
God bless.
Take care.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe and review our podcast on iTunes, which will allow you to be the first ones to know when new episodes are updated. Also, please visit our website at ojchamber.com. And if you aren't yet a member, please make sure to sign up. Membership is free. Thank you so much and speak to you soon.